So we've got questions and we have no idea what the questions are.
That's correct. Just like Paul of Tashton.
Elvis. Everything, just answer Elvis.
Yeah, Elvis.
We should do that one day, hey? Just answer everything Elvis.
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 That's, just so everyone listening knows, that's Lynn conspiring against her own team and their podcast on how to screw it up for all our listeners. Welcome, everybody, to the Paranormal Guides Weekly Podcast number 21. It'll be about here. Paul will jump in and tell us what episode of the season it is, but he has no idea.
Sorry, it's the beer.
So. It's the beer. That's right. We're at Lynn's house down south in Victor Harbour. So we have the two people in the Paranormal Guide team that you guys don't usually get to hear on the podcast so much. So say g'day to Lynn and Wes.
G'day, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going, guys?
It's going well. That cheesecake was awesome.
I can still taste it.
And next to me, I've got the co-host, Paul Tivich.
Hello. How you going, everyone?
And I'm Ashley Hall. So, yeah, as mentioned, we're here down south in Victor. We are south, right?
We are south, yes. Good.
That would have messed that up. We are down south of Victor Harbour. Very drizzly, gloomy day outside. I decided it'd be a great day for a barbecue and catch up with the team. So, yeah, guys, I guess the very first thing we're going to kick off with is asking what you guys have been doing since you guys were last on the podcast, which would have been the season finale, probably, from last
that
season.
That was... Oh, God. Yeah, it would have been. No. Yeah.
Halloween, the Halloween show.
I don't know. I have no idea.
The last barbecue had at my house.
That's right.
Yeah.
Really?
I can't remember what it was about.
I got no idea what order things are. So, yeah, so what have you guys been doing? So, well, as the team as a whole, all our listeners, all our regular loyal listeners will pretty much know what we've been up to. But you guys personally, what have you guys been doing? So,
what, on a personal level?
Well, it can be if you want.
Not,
if you,
not too personal, thanks, Wes.
If you guys want to delve into the personal, in your personal lives, that's fine. But I guess, yeah, just really what have you guys been doing? Could be paranormal related if you want.
Okay, well, all I've been doing is, well, we've had Christmas since then, haven't we? And I suppose a few holidays here and there, and Easter's upon us, and I've just been pottering around, keeping myself busy, trying to find new locations to investigate for the team.
You have been doing a lot of groundwork, haven't you?
A lot of groundwork, so we've got some fingers in the pie, so to speak, coming up, so, yeah, keeping an eye out, ear out.
You've done it in a pretty unique way, so... Like a lot of people, you'll see an interesting location. You'll walk up and introduce yourself, say, this is what we do, let's go in. But you also got yourself an in with a historical society, which seems to...
Yeah, they've been helping me out a lot. They're really into it, you know. And first of all, they said how much of a skeptic. Now they're coming out with books going, oh, how about this one? How about this one? You heard about this story? So they're really excited to help us out.
That's how easy it is. All you need to find is one enthusiast, yep, and they'll help you find your locations. So that's great, eh?
Yeah.
So you're like spamming everyone in real life instead of online.
A whole lot, yeah. And it's working really well. So
was it a typical case of people going, nah, I don't believe in that garbage, but this one time I had this experience?
For example, there's one person says, I do not believe at all. I said, come on, mate, you'd be walking down a hallway and you get the heebie-jeebies, the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And he goes, oh, yeah, I get creeped out from time to time. Easy as that, you know.
Everyone's got a story. Everybody. All you got to do is just dig a little bit.
Exactly.
And they come out and then there's another one and then there'll be another one. And
yeah.
Without giving the actual locations away, we tend to keep them to ourselves till we investigate. Exactly. And then... We'll let everyone know where we are, and if people ask how to get access, we may even help you in there if it's something that's possible to do. But what type of locations have you been hitting up?
I've been trying to find places that will later, it'll be better for them, you know? So if we find something, or it's basically a good advertising for them, I'm trying to approach them as, you know, like I'm trying to say, we can help you out if you can help us out. And they're grateful for that, so that's how I'm sort of coming into it as well.
Well, this macabre sort of dark history stuff is pretty popular, and we know by all these ghost tours that are going around, all these movies, the shows, so it is a good selling point for some of these historic foundations.
Exactly, yep.
And Lynn. What has Lynn been up to?
I've been very boring. I've recently started work again, so I've just spent the last 2 weeks doing training in Adelaide, so it's been up at 5 a.m. driving to work, or to training, and then coming home and just collapsing in a screaming heap. Apart from that, I have just been going through the recordings and that from the last few investigations that we've done.
You've been going through, you've been,
video review?
Been doing some review, and you have found some interesting things, especially at our investigation of Shiver's Restaurant.
That,
we've investigated definitely. There, we can talk about. Give us a brief rundown of Shiver's Restaurant and what we may have picked up.
Okay, well, Shiver's Restaurant, I'm just itching to go back because I believe we'll probably get a lot more. As you know, Ash, I was in the men's toilet of all places, sitting on the toilet, quite innocently. You were on the other side of the door, which was started off closed, and we noticed twice that the door opened by itself a certain degree. So I kept the camera on it and asked if there was something there, could it open the door for us some more, in which case it immediately opened fully. Now, yeah, I mean, everybody that's looked at it has said that the movement of the door, it wasn't a breeze, it wasn't just a you know, easily explained, it was just a very sudden start-stop to the opening, which we've got on camera. You and I both witnessed it, and coupled with that, we've got three EVPs as well. Yep. So that was exciting. I really love to go back there and do a lot longer there and see what else we get.
Tell us a little bit about these EVPs, because I can remember being there and, yeah, I couldn't. Besides us talking, and you can hear a little bit about some of the other people that were on the premises, but you could clearly tell them, separate from these definitely other voices you captured.
The EVPs that we captured are distinctly close by. The first one we caught was when you asked, what year were you here? And I believe what it comes back with is 1920.
Okay.
The second one was, I actually heard it with my own ears as well. That was when I asked, did you work here? And we got, like, it sounded like, mm-hmm. Okay. Like an agreeing sort of, you know, not hum, but, you know, a sort of an agreement sort of noise. Mm-hmm. Then there was that loud there, exactly like that. Then there was that loud knock in the men's toilet while I was in there that neither you or I could explain, and we could not work out what made the noise. And there were, I can't remember the other one off the top of my head, but
I thought I heard door handles rattling, and that's when we split into two teams.
That's right, yeah.
And then you come back and said that you heard the door moving, so that
was... Yes, that's right,
Did you hear
yeah
the door rattling, yeah, the door that handle. Bathroom one, or just...
A door handle, which...
On that hallway.
It was in that area, yeah, hallway. And that was after we had captured the door opening. So all in all, it was pretty amazing, and I'd really love to go back there and do it again.
Absolutely. She seemed quite open to us coming back again, yes, at some stage.
Great food too.
Absolutely brilliant food, except with a little bit of the added sprinkle of asbestos. who noticed that first? Was it you, Paul?
I can't remember.
I remember the people up on... There's a service station.
Yeah, it wasn't Shivers itself. It was the service station next door.
And there's workmen on top, and they were removing the sheets of asbestos and replacing them at night right next to a restaurant where people are eating food.
So yeah, so they're all geared up. They've got their suits on, their masks on, and we're sitting there eating a meal.
Yeah. But getting ready to have a paranormal investigation. But if I end up dying from asbestosis, I'm going to haunt something in that area. I believe I had a run-in with the ghost myself in that men's bathroom during dinner time.
No, you were just clumsy.
I went in there. I went in there, and somehow I ended up headbutting and shouldering the men's urinal.
I can't believe you're actually admitting that on a podcast.
I always admit stuff. It's hilarious.
Well, we laughed.
So I reckon I interacted. I interacted with something there. Was it just the men's toilets that things took place in? Now, we weren't... Myself and Lynn, it was just us two when that happened. And did you guys have anything take place at Shivers?
Only the door handle.
Yeah, nothing at all for me. I didn't feel anything much there either, so nah. But not that I've got any psychic powers, but I've got nothing at all.
Yeah, it's a fantastic location, and it does have its background stories as well.
Yeah, for sure.
The history, so a place we'll no doubt go back to.
And there's another tunnel we'd never got to explore, which really? Heads across the pub, apparently, but they don't know where the access is, so...
Well, they do, and that tunnel is still open and accessible.
On the pub side.
On the pub side, yes. Right.
But they can't find out where it comes out on the, across the side of the road.
Yeah.
We will find this.
Mm.
We will. Take our pickaxes.
We'll go dig up the road if we have to.
The roundabout.
That's right. I'm sure we can arrange a jackhammer or something. We'll be fine.
Besides our investigation, what else have you been doing? So you've just started work again. Work gets in the way of paranormal investigation and research, sadly.
It does. A it's a real drag having to work. But, yeah, I mean...
You had your birthday. How old was you?
I was 52.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe you're openly admitting that in a podcast.
I am not ashamed of my age.
Over half a century, everybody.
Exactly. So remember, respect your elders.
Yeah, we'll respect that.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
That. So that's really catching up with you guys.
Obviously. Well, my age, yeah, sure is, I'll tell you.
That's right, there's a lot to catch up on there. film a six-hour epic just based around your life experiences. Now, since we're talking about your birthday, I just want to get in a little bit of brief Lynn history here.
Uh-oh.
Before we continue. Now, your family has a bit of a is well known in the area for certain things, a cultural...
Well, I wouldn't say the family is well known for it. I presume you are alluding to the Compass Cup.
Absolutely.
Which was invented by my father, who observed one day one of our cows tear-arsing up the paddock and sprung on the idea of a cow race.
Tear-arsing, that's a good word.
It was tear-arsing. And that was my father's words, by the way. And him knowing that the local rural youth club wanted to have a fundraiser of some sort to raise money for a local orphanage, suggested that to them. They ran with the idea. It was only ever supposed to be a one-off thing. That was back in 1975 was the first one, and it's still running every Australia Day.
How many Buttercups have won the race?
How many Buttercups? You don't have a stupid name like Buttercup. Trust me.
Did you race cow?
Yeah, did you ever race a cow, Lynn?
I did. I rode Hopeful Fanny in the very first Compass Cup, and I came fifth.
Oh, man. Your dad must have been proud.
Not that I came fifth. No, he was rather disappointed, but no. So that is my claim to fame and my family's contribution to local folklore, I suppose.
That's fantastic.
Sort of rather dubious honour.
My family doesn't really have any kind of contribution. Does yours, Paul?
What are you talking about?
Oh, bullshit.
When he's in... the Kelly gang? No, what was
she? Oh, yeah, that's not local.
I'm not local, but yeah.
We're talking Bush New Ranger. South Wales.
He's Hall. Like related to Ben Hall, the Bush Ranger.
Well, that's okay. That's not. What about you, Wes?
So cool.
I don't know if I can talk about the claim to fame. We could get in trouble. So
really?
Yeah. Oh yes, yeah. Your little parts in.
Oh yeah. Okay, yes. We'll keep that.
Well, I could say I was an extra in a movie. But that was very recent, but I won't say what movie.
That's right, because you're still on a non-disclosure
agreement
for that. But what we'll do when this movie is released, Lynn's trying not to laugh. You're allowed to laugh. We love laughter.
No, because I didn't want to come out with this huge cackle that sort of...
But when this movie is released, and look, it's going to be relevant to everyone's interest. We can say it is a bit of a horror, but that's where we'll leave it. And when that movie's been released, no doubt we'll dig out a still... Yeah. Of Wes.
Oh, definitely. We've got to
chuck
we'll
it up
milk
there.
It for all it's worth.
Absolutely. You can pretty much guess now what it is, Australian horror.
No, well, there's heaps.
You know, there's lots of Australian horrors being filmed at the moment.
Yeah.
There's three or four of them.
But anyway, so we've caught up with everybody. We're going to take a quick break.
Yep.
We're going to come back. And we're going to continue on with our episode from last week. But we're going to hit up Wes and Lynn with some of these questions our listeners sent us.
Oh, cool. The ones we tackled last week.
Yeah.
I just want to see if they're going to sit there and just take it.
Yeah, they're going to take it. We're going to find out.
We'll I'm be back sitting in next a second. To Wes. I can take anything. Oh, that was pretty open, wasn't it?
At Alpine Nirvana, we are Australia's online suppliers of quality occult products. We have a wide selection of products for spiritual enhancement, protection, cleansing, and divination. Items include smudge sticks, incense, herbs, crystals, books, and coming soon, hoodoo curios. Alpine Nirvana, helping to bridge the gap between the spiritual and the paranormal. www.alpinenirvana.com.au or follow us on Facebook.
If you're looking for an entertaining and spooky night out, come to the Casula Powerhouse Art Centre. It's in the southwest of Sydney. We hold ghost tours and paranormal investigation nights. You'll find spooky stories, there's treasure hunts, loads of food and wine, and plenty of time for you to explore the venue on your own. The tours are run by Appy, and you can find us on Facebook or our website, which is appi.org.au.
So welcome back, everybody. Now, I just got to throw in, we're sitting in Lynn's lounge room, and she seems to have a certain kind of decor, a certain kind of a feel she's going for in here. What do we got going on here, Lynn?
It's all just Egyptian stuff.
You make it sound so boring. You got canoptic jars, and
yep.
You got a life-size...
Yep,
guy.
Statue up in the corner, and I've got a few Anubises and a Sphinx and
you Sphinx.
Wow,
I love you too, Wes.
So, do you have a bit of a thing for Egypt?
I do. Yeah, ancient Egypt.
What's the deal there? Do you just like the culture and history?
I just love their art. I find it very very simplistic.
She's somebody's mummy.
Oh, God, Wes, that was bad.
We knew when Wes was going to be on the show, there's going to be terrible jokes.
Yeah.
I'm glad you could oblige us.
About time someone's taken my spot.
That's it. So you just got...
I just got a fascination with it, and I just love the art and the... I don't know. Yeah, I just got a thing for it, I suppose. Always have.
Yeah, looking around, there's display cabinets with ornaments in it and pictures on walls and statues and urns and... air conditioners and all sorts of
mummified body parts.
On last week's episode, we answered a whole bunch of listeners' questions that you guys had sent in to us, and we're going to continue. But there's a couple of questions here that I would love to get Lynn and Wes's answers on before we delve into some new ones. So you guys, are you guys happy to answer some of these questions that our fans... Yeah, we have.
Huh. So why do you need us to answer?
Well, we want to hear your aspect on some of these
things. Yeah, why not? Challenge us.
All right. Okay, so the very first ones are pretty basic, really, and everyone's going to want to know these. But so, just as a sensible one, how did you guys first get involved in the paranormal community?
The community or the paranormal?
The field, the research.
That was your fault, Ash.
We'll
partly your fault. I got involved the night we did the Crown Hotel investigation here in
No. See, you can't say that you got involved then because you had set up that investigation, yes?
Well,
so you obviously already had an interest.
Well, yeah, I did have an interest. Always have had an interest in, apart from ancient Egypt, in the paranormal. And in a lot of ways, the two sort of tied together. And people kept saying to me that... Yeah, I should go and investigate the Crown. I should go and have a look at the Crown Hotel. There's a ghost up there. My sister worked there and she had an experience there and a lot of other locals had experiences there. And it was through that I made contact with paranormal field investigators who said, well, if you can set it up, we'll come down and come along with us. And it all just snowballed from there.
I remember that investigation quite well because you weren't really a team then, but your team member had fallen asleep quite early.
Oh, yeah, as he always did. And we just had a great time and it was just, I just knew that night that is what I wanted to do.
Fantastic.
Just wanted to get into it. And
that was a couple of years ago now.
Two and a half years ago. And, yeah, it just has gone from there.
Awesome. Wes.
Yep. Mine started from a very early age because my mother and father were into the spiritual side and went to church a lot and My father used to do a lot of spiritual drawings for people, and he'd come up with some really great drawings. People would bring in photos the week after of exactly who my dad drew and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty fascinating as a kid. And then pretty started for me when I bought my first digital camera, and Paul's favourite, got a photo of an orb, and it started from there. And the other thing, it was free, you know. You didn't have to pay to do anything. You just get in your car, try and find locations. You didn't have to get into too much trouble or any. And you can just, it's a basic interest, you know. It's something that dwells in our minds. Is there something out there? You want an answer. So It wasn't that I wanted an answer. It was basically a fascination.
So, okay. Were you hoping to experience for yourself?
I'm not sure what I was after at the time. I was just happy to be doing something.
Yeah. And where did you start? So for Lynn, it was obviously here in South Australia, Victor Harbour. Even for yourself, was that in Queensland?
No, I was 16. It's Old Nalunga, the old church, the old cemetery there.
Ah,
on
yes.
On the hill. And, yeah, went around there by myself and took some photos and got lots of orbs, and I thought it was fantastic. So, yeah.
Did you ever work out who those orbs were?
No.
No. Damn.
They didn't give me any names.
They didn't give you any names. Now, if you looked at those same photos now that you took at 16, and you got the same photos now, would you have interpreted them different now with what you, well, with the experience you've had in this?
Some yes, meeting? Some yep. No. Some okay. I've looked at them now and didn't realise things then, but I realise things now. So it's always good to look back through photos and, you know, just pick out different things and learn from that.
What's some of the more interesting locations you've been to, Wes?
What, by myself? Or
On your own, before TPG.
Before TPG, probably the best one I went to was a tour. I didn't do the tour, I'd done the tour after, actually, was the Toowoomba Cemetery. And that place is massive.
Was absolutely. That with Jack Sims?
Yeah, that's yep. him. Yep, I still got his mobile number on my phone. Yeah, so...
Stalker.
Yeah, well, there's a few interesting stories around there, and I went around, actually, there's a funny story for you. I bought my first video camera and walked around the whole cemetery holding this video camera. I reckon I was out for about a couple of hours just videoing, just going to go home and review it. Get back to the car, look at my camera, and you dickhead, you didn't push record.
That's having the error on stage. Yeah. Oh, it's spewing.
Now, you went to some interesting places overseas recently too.
I went to New Zealand, or UK was probably the best. I had a experience over there which was pretty cool. I stayed in actually Dover. I don't know if you guys know the White Cliffs of Dover, but it was down there. There's a lot of history down there, especially with the war and stuff like that. And stayed in, I suppose you'd call it an old, I'd say it was a barracks, but the actual houses and all joined together as they are in England. And I remember going up stairs and up the old narrow staircase, and went into the bedroom, turned lights off, pitch black. And the whole horror story movie thing happened to me where just closed my eyes and I could feel something touching the end of the sheet. And I don't know if you believe or not, but I could have been dreaming. You always question yourself after, did that happen? But yeah, the sheet got dragged off me and I flew to the light switch. So that was probably my first thing that's ever happened to me. I was probably, I think I was about 21 then, so okay. that was pretty cool.
So you'd say that's one of the more paranormally active locations you've been to?
England, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. If anywhere I'd want to go back, would be definitely go back to England. There's just so much history around that area.
Lynn, where's the most paranormally active spot you've been to? Well, that you believe to be paranormally active anyway.
That's a tough question.
It is.
I honestly can't answer that.
Okay, moving on.
That was quick, wasn't it?
I'm going to say it's a great question.
I'm boring.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, Lynn, what's the scariest situation you found yourself in while investigating?
Scariest situation, paranormal-wise, probably Surviston, and that was when everybody else was asleep, and I was struggling to go to sleep. That was the first time we were up there, and I kept hearing the footsteps going up and down, up and down, up and down all the time.
Oh, yep.
That was probably, I mean, it wasn't scary, but it was worrying for some reason. I don't know why I felt it worrying, but...
See, I thought you would have chosen Jay Ward with your head getting slammed.
Oh, yeah.
Well...
That might not have been scary, though, probably more just shocking.
That, I must admit, I've sort of cut that out. Oh, I don't. I don't think about it and I don't talk about it.
Okay.
Until now.
Well, yeah. Until they brought up.
Yeah, until now, until Ashley brought it up. But no, seriously, I do, because of the reactions I've got from people who I have chosen to tell.
Yep.
I've decided, no, I just won't share that anymore.
Then this will remain mysterious for our listeners.
Yes.
Maybe sometime in the future, you never
maybe.
Know.
Maybe. Maybe when I feel a bit better about it.
Now, here's one of the more interesting questions that we were asked, and that is, okay, so you go to bed at night, and you wake up, and you find yourself on an operating table, surrounded by aliens, and they're doing things to you. How do you react in this situation?
My sphincter would get very, very tight.
You'd be asking yourself if you're dreaming straight up, wouldn't you? What would you do? There's nothing you probably could do. You could act either friendly or you could act aggressively. And what could you do? Seriously, where would you run if you could run?
See, Lynn's reaction was exactly the same as Paul's. That was to clench.
What, yes. I mean, why you then, just mention aliens and the first thing that pops into my head is anal probing. Yep. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know whether that's just wishful thinking or what. Yeah. I don't know.
Wishful. Oh, dear.
Maybe I should rephrase that. Yeah, waking up surrounded by aliens, and I'd probably be pretty pissed off.
I'd be asking questions.
Oh, bugger the questions. I'd just start throwing punches.
Can you turn it a bit to the right?
Yeah. You know, right. Like, insert it slow, but pull it out quick.
Where's your head at?
But yeah, so, okay, fair enough. What's your first question going to be, Wes? You said you'd be asking questions.
Well, first off, you'd say, where am I? Because you'd want... If you're going to survive it and you're going to come back, you want, it's like a dream, you know? You pick up millions of dollars and you go, oh, no, I'm asleep, but I'm going to put all these millions of dollars in my pocket, and when I wake up, I'm going to have millions of dollars. So hopefully when you get out of a spaceship, you're going to go, I've got all these millions of answers and from all these questions, and then you want to tell everyone. So you'd be asking a lot of stuff, a lot of questions.
That is so lame.
This just adds to the comical. So the total picture of me entering this room is we got Tash screaming, we got Paul clenching, then swinging punches, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
Got Lynn just sitting there clenching angrily, and Wes is trying to interrogate and interview these aliens.
Why not? They probably know more about my body than I do.
Interesting answers, guys.
We need to make a movie.
That's the other thing we said. We said we're going to film our response.
Oh, definitely. Gonna, you know,
let's get some top-notch special effects happening.
Do we have to do anal probing?
Absolutely.
Not on each other.
Oh, okay. Fine. No reach.
I know where your anus has been. I'm not going there.
How do you know?
I was about to say, what? What? That was a pretty bold statement.
We were at Serviston together, remember?
Was that you dressed as an alien?
All right, another question we got given was, someone just wrote in capital letters, orbs. Now interpret that as you wish and respond.
You go
orbs.
First.
Big white blobby things that show up on your photos and make you think you're capturing spirits.
Orbs. Oh, I think there's definitely a possibility. There could be something to do with them, you know, and it's obviously a 50-50 if it's, well... to your own beliefs, really. So you could take it as it's dust particles, but if you want to believe that it's something more, then believe it. That's fine. Not a problem. I don't have a problem with people saying that they've caught something. You know, I encourage it.
Yeah, that really goes into, like, you honestly believe that in most things. You're like, as you say a lot, just roll with it. Just go with what you want. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. You're on the fence with orbs?
Oh, I just don't judge about it, you know?
Yeah. I'm pretty much on the fence. I mean, 99.9% of what I see, I think, yeah, dust or bugs or whatever. But I've got to admit, I've got a couple of photos with orbs in, which I'm sort of looking at and I think, I don't know. They're just, they're too intricate. They're too, yeah, there's just something about them that I can't quite work out. And I'm not going to show them to Paul because I just want to.
Yeah, so believe myself and Paul are still alone in being true non-believers of orbs in this team.
We're outnumbered. What I don't like is how people say they can authenticate your orb and stuff like this, you know. I mean, come on. If you're going to get your orb authenticated, you're going to send it to Sony or Canon or a reputable camera place, you know. Filmographer or something like that.
The other thing as well, if I took a photo of, like I say, a full apparition, body apparition standing in the corner, and I showed you, like, you could say, no, that's something else. It's the same with orbs, you know. Why would you say take it away from someone?
But that's different. That's different. You got a full body apparition. You've got to be able to explain that away. An orb, I can explain away because it's a dust particle in the camera lens or a water particle or a reflection of any small surface that's making that orb. We know what it is. Yeah. We can recreate it in an experiment. We can recreate it in different rooms and different stuff. We can make spiderweb orbs. We can do whatever we want.
But part of being
an investigator is to recreate a certain occurrence. Since you can recreate it naturally, unfortunately, to me, there's no answer. I'm not going to stop anyone else from believing in their rights, but for me, an orb is a dust particle.
What was probably intended as a fun question got serious. That's all good. No, it's all good. It's all good. It's all fun. So those were just some of the questions we were asked last week that we already answered. So we might as well have thrown Wes and Lynn in there.
They were cool questions. They were awesome questions.
Some of these questions that we'll answer after this break, we'll just tackle them as we do, as we go along. So we'll be back in a sec.
If you're looking for top-quality Australian-made paranormal equipment, look no further than Apparition Technologies, making everything from EM pumps to shadow detectors and much more. Apparition Technologies, Australia's leading paranormal equipment manufacturer. Find us on facebook.com/apparitiontechnologies.
Introducing Go Shack, Australia's first exclusive paranormal equipment web store, providing Aussies with many of the sought-after materials to delve into paranormal exploration. GoShack currently offers items such as IR lights and full-spectrum digital cameras, melmeters, pods, full-spectrum illuminators, and much more. If we don't have what you're looking for, we will endeavour to provide it for you. GoShack prides itself on providing Aussies with high-quality products at prices unmatched across the globe. Check us out at goshack.com.au or find us on Facebook.
Welcome back, everybody. Sorry, we've had a few beers here. Hey, I'm a light drinker. So this first question of these new round of questions, which will be for everyone, but I want to ask Wes this first because he's owner of Oscar the Wonder Dog. Well, as I call Oscar. Is that Oscar's name? Is he the Wonder Dog?
Yes, he is. He's my little Wonder Dog.
Where did Wonder Dog come from?
I don't know. We just started calling him that.
I started calling him that. No, because he is. He's awesome. He gets in there. He gets in amongst it. He's getting into the finding things and he's cute.
He helped you find prisoner drawn pornography.
He did.
Wonderful stuff. But Wes, and I'm going to start with you, and then all you guys can also answer this as you see fit, is do you think animals can see spirits or sense spirits?
I say they'd be able to sense them more so than see a spirit. You've definitely got some sort of thing happening where they back up and, yeah. I honestly can't go too much into detail because I'm obviously not an animal. So looking at observating Oscar on investigations, he definitely picks up on something. So we're yet to, I don't know, investigate it more into that side of things, I suppose. You know, we'll give you some more answers as we know more, basically.
Lynn, we were at an investigation recently and you witnessed Oscar reacting to something. You took a photo and you got one of these dreaded orbs.
Yeah. That was...
Where was that?
That was at Goolwa, at our investigation in Cadell Street in Goolwa, where up in a particular corner there had been reports of an apparition of a man in a bowler hat. Now, Oscar was quite comfortably sitting, or laying actually, on the floor in that spot. And I was watching the CCTV camera that I had rolling at the time. And I saw what appeared to be an orb hovering around above Oscar, who then looked up directly at this orb and wag his tail and then follow it as it sort of took off, and he followed whatever it was. Now, he might have been watching a grasshopper.
Yeah.
He might have, I mean, it could have been a moth. But it was just interesting that he was, you know, he'd noticed it. But, I mean, I do believe that animals do sense something. I'm not sure if they actually see things that we don't. But being the owner of two dogs and knowing how they react to my emotions, they've got definitely to be in tune with other energy as well. Because they pick up different energies off of me. You know, for example, if I'm feeling particularly down or upset, they're all over me and they'll sit on me and be slobbering all over me. Whereas if I'm quite happy, they're not quite as attentive towards me. So they seem to know by my emotions and any energy I'm putting out, they react to it. So other energy around them, whether or not it's attached to a living thing, you know, I do feel that they can pick up on that.
Going back, though, what about Oscar last time we took him to Serviston? He was fine, you know, the first time we took him
there. Yeah, and the second time around, he didn't like it.
At all.
That was bizarre.
Yeah, but Ron was putting on that certain look as the photo
displayed. Ash gave him a certain...
Oh, come on! Yes.
Yeah, well, Ash copped a feel, if I remember rightly.
He won't give him a biscuit.
I suppose that was the human equivalent of another dog sticking his nose up Oscar's bum. This is to Oscar's
Oscar,
bum.
Not to Ron.
Yeah.
So clear that.
Yes. Apparently, on our last trip to Serviston, Ashley had a rather intimate moment with Oscar.
Look, I'm happy to talk about myself falling into a urinal, but accidentally fondling dogs, come on, that's got to be off the table.
No, you did that in front of everybody and you quite happily admitted it. So, you know, I mean...
They were both licking their lips too.
You know, if that's your thing, Ash, you go for it, mate. You know?
He is a dog lover.
Just, yeah, a little bit too much. Next question.
Good. Well, did you have anything you want to add to animal sensing things, spirits?
No.
Okay.
No, personally.
Paul doesn't like animals.
It's not that I don't like animals. I don't have time for them. I barely have enough time for people, let alone animals.
Oh, he's such a fun guy to be around, isn't he?
Yeah.
Poor kid.
With animals, some of their senses are more acute than humans. Some aren't. Like, visibility for a dog is pretty poor compared to human visibility, but their smell's up there and their hearing's up there. So, you know, that could have their own benefits to investigations. I mean, like we said, yeah, Oscar did find that pawn at the jail, you know, found it behind the thing. It's a pretty relevant sort of artifact to find, which is quite cool.
What about cats? You know, the Egyptians, you should have something to say why they... Why I'd reckon Egyptians...
I like cats, I just can't eat a whole one.
Moving on. I think that's a topic for discussion here. Good Lord, we've probably just lost half our listeners. Okay, guys, what do you think spirits are made of?
Ingredients.
Yeah, well, if you want. If you want to bake one, how do you make one? What do you think they're made of?
Basically, energy. Everything revolves around energy. Everything. So it's got to be energy. There's nothing more I could say about that. Lynn?
Emotion.
You're just going to leave it at emotion?
That's it, emotion.
How did you go on your school reports? Did you just write one word? Yes.
I didn't write my school reports. The teachers did.
Engraved it.
Chiseled it into the slate.
Taking on Lynn's approach, soul.
Soul? Yeah. What? Well, what's the soul?
The soul is spirit energy. So it is. It's your energy. It's who you are. That little bit of...
Your essence.
That little bit of flicker that leaves you at that last second of your life.
So so no one here thinks, well, okay, where's the answered energy? But so you guys don't think it's made out of any kind of matter we know of now? You don't think there's like ghosts and spirits and the soul has to, I guess, apply to the rules of our physical existence? They're not made up of a certain type of matter or certain type of particle or...
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
No, oh, I agree totally. I don't think they're made out of anything more than what we already are. So whatever a ghost is, we have more of that inside us while we're living. So because we can create that energy. Plus we have our physical form as well. That's probably why I'm not so scared when I go out into locations, because I don't think that can hurt me. I don't think a ghost can hurt me because I'm more than what it is.
Yep.
God's got nothing else to add to that?
No.
What about you? What do you think?
No, I've got a lot of questions. What do I think? I think I watched that show, and I can't remember what it was called now. It was on Channel 9 or Channel 10 recently, and they did this massive investigation of a prison. And it wasn't paranormal investigators doing it, it was scientists. So they heard all these reports, like the footsteps stuff, so they load the place up with microphones, they were measuring for infrasound, they had thermal cameras everywhere and all that. And they're talking to scientists, and scientists say, okay, if all these types of experiences people are having are real, so such as ghosts being able to move through walls, you know, ghosts being able to make sounds without being physically there, ghosts are able to do this, you know, change temperature, although there's no particle or element or anything that we know of yet that can display all those properties. So I guess I don't know. Myself, I don't actually believe in ghosts just yet, so that question's kind of pointless to me. They're made up of nothing.
So how do they make sounds?
Well, how the
footsteps?
Well, I don't think they do.
Oh.
That's me, though. Okay. I'm still highly sceptical on that. I personally think ghosts are just a misinterpretation of something else. What that is, I don't know, but I don't believe in it. If they exist, I don't believe they're just the souls of dead people. That's just me. I don't think they're linked to us. But that's me.
So it's more of a dimensional or a different plane or a parallel?
Well, which folds us nicely into this question.
Okay.
Do you believe some paranormal or all paranormal experiences can be explained as multiple Earths or multiple dimensions laying over and existing amongst one another?
That's a very interesting question.
That is a very interesting question. And
I haven't even really delved into that myself. Yeah.
I wouldn't say all paranormal experiences. Possibly a very high volume of them, yes. And the idea of different levels of dimensions has been something that I've thought about and wondered if there is a possibility. I personally have this thing about opposites, and, you know, particularly in the sort of whole universe type scenario, where is there another Earth which is like out there and completely opposite to this one, where, you know, night is day and day is night and all that sort of thing, and just mainly ideas floating around in my head. But the whole different dimension thing is a fascinating subject, and unfortunately I don't know enough about it.
So do you believe yet in heaven?
No, not the traditional heaven. I don't believe in any of the traditional type of religious interpretation heaven, hell and all that sort of thing.
I want to take you to an experience you had once, and this was when you were at Woomera, and
yeah,
you had an experience. This was what you might refer to as a time slip.
Yeah.
Now, do you believe that a time slip, and having possibly experienced it for yourself?
Yeah.
Do you believe that was a time travel thing, or do you think you had folded into a dimension that existed of Woomera
that year? It was actually that incident that got me thinking on the whole cross-dimensional thing. And was there actually another level of existence which was either just above or just below our level of existence? I mean, is there another Lynn out there living parallel to me now? Shut up, Wes. That is, like, either, you know,
the 50 good
years, you know, I was going to say the evil me, but that just blows that out the water, doesn't it? Like, there could be five planes of existence, right? Mm. So you got five Lynns, five Weses. Now, we're all living five different lives, all at different times.
Yep.
Like, there could be the 100-year-ago one, the 50-year-ago one, today one, 50 years in the future and 100 years in the future. But we're all living at the same time, but just the dimensions that we're in, the Earth is at a different stage of development or evolution. And, I mean, I've thought about the whole reincarnation thing and, you know, multiple personalities, all that sort of thing. And that's sort of something that I've just started sort of reading up on with the parapsychology is, you know, yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, is a multiple personality the cause of two of these dimensions suddenly slamming together and bang, you've got somebody who has a confusion over which dimension they're supposed to be in, therefore they have more than the one personality because you've got the two that are melded together. And I could crap on all afternoon about this, so I'll just shut up now.
Okay, we'll move on to Paul. Do you have an answer
well,
for this?
Well, I'm with you on the first question about ghosts. I have a hard time believing in them in the way that we're trying to investigate them. So, I mean, once you go to parallel universes or multi-planes and stuff like that, it just gets way too confusing. And I think the time and whatever would have too much complications in organizing this. So I believe that once you make a choice, that choice continues and there is only one plane, one universe and one continuation.
Yeah, we don't really know much about this one yet to move on to other things. So,
man, I've barely explored my backyard, let alone different planes.
Has anyone explored your backyard?
Good Lord. Back to the probing. Okay, guys.
A paranormal investigation group? Want to find out more about any workshops, courses and events in your area? Are you searching for a paranormal group to join? Or are you after the latest paranormal equipment being sold here in Australia? Then log on to Access Paranormal, where you can find a list of paranormal groups around the country, available jobs, where to buy paranormal equipment and recommended reading. The website is accessparanormal.com, Australia's chosen paranormal networking website.
Are ghosts real? Do the dead still roam? Could those stories really be true? Book a ghost tour with Haunted Horizons and find out for yourself. Or why not journey into the much darker side of human nature and book onto one of our dark history crime tours through Gawler or Adelaide City Centre. Ring 0407 715 866 or go to the Haunted Horizons website at adelaidehauntedhorizons.com.au.
Okay, guys, here's the final segment for this podcast, and which leads us into this question. Can paranormal shows ever be taken as more than just entertainment?
No.
Ooh, here we go.
No.
Get into it, guys.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, why do they do it? They do it to make money. How do they do it? By entertainment. It is nothing like that. I mean, let's face it, guys, none of yous look like Zach. As much as I'd love you to.
I have never taken my shirt off in your presence, so you cannot make that judgment call.
And I don't think I'd want you to, Ash.
Austin, Eddie.
But no, seriously, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that they're going out and faking stuff and all that. I'm not saying that. But it does give you a false idea of what it's like to be a paranormal investigator, which involves sitting around in the dark, often being as bored shitless as you possibly can be, eating way too many lemon crisp biscuits, drinking Farmers Union iced coffee like it's, you know, going out of fashion. And, yeah, and it's just not like that at all. Entertainment, yes, but as, you know, I mean, I wouldn't use it as a training video or anything like that.
My answer is basically it'd be like orbs, you know. It's quite simple. Take it how you want to take it. If you want to believe that something's happening, believe it. If not, criticize away. You know, it's your own beliefs at the end of the day.
Paul, you probably watch more shows than anyone else I know. What's give us your take on this.
At the beginning, I thought, yeah, they're legit. Well, I think most of these shows are. They capture a bit of evidence. Maybe not so much the shows, but more the documentaries. They capture a bit of evidence, and they base their whole documentary about that little bit of evidence, what they gather. And I think that's pretty legit. But once they start heading into second, third, fourth, fifth seasons, it does get hard to keep entertaining people. And that's when they bring up more than probably what you would as a real investigator. But to me, those shows are fairly realistic. What you do, I mean, obviously you're not going to run around a place. You know, some places you do walk around. So, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to describe. Ghost Adventurers, they do what we do. Basically the same thing. We do our EVP sessions. They do their ghost box sessions, if you like. That they use an ovulus. We use all that equipment. I mean, I don't like all of it, but we do use it all. We use EM pumps. We use everything they use, and so it's pretty much on par. We are doing what they're doing. It's just we're not capturing as much evidence as what they are. Not every time, but some of their EVPs are a bit ambiguous. Sometimes the footage, I know when I first bought the thermal camera and I was looking around, I'm thinking after seeing some other crews capturing all this evidence, and I'm looking at it and thinking that's just my reflection on a shiny wall, you know, and they probably played it up more than what they should have.
Yeah. I see sometimes, you know, on the shows, I don't like watching their evidence on what they capture on video and stuff like that. I sometimes like to sit back and see what the mediums are bringing into it, you know, like listening of the history and then going back through and picking up like actual facts. That interests me just as much as what people picture.
Yeah, capture. Definitely. I enjoy the like when they do that, when they do a bit of history and...
The history is the best on bit.
Yeah, that's
definitely
really
by
good.
Far, out of everything what I've seen, out of all the shows, the history would be the best bit. I don't know if I like the medium side of things, especially like, you got my favourite show, Most Haunted. I mean...
Well, you got Derek Hall, but the other ones are pretty good.
You think? I don't know. It's hard to base what a medium says. I know...
But it's definitely interesting to watch.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean we use Tash on our investigations, and it's really interesting, some of the things she comes up with, and it's like, how'd you get that? But then how much substance can you put into everything you find? Like, even like the ghost box, how much substance can you put into that? How much substance can you put into a... ovulus, you know? What the hell is it, man? It's a device that spits out words using a database of different EMF settings, EM settings. So, you know, what is it really trying to say? Everything we do is so experimental, it's not funny. So exactly. Unless we see it, how you would prove any of it, I don't know. I've got no idea.
Yeah. I think what sort of not annoys me the most, but I suppose what does bother me sometimes is people's perception of those TV shows glamorises what we do. And then people say to me, oh, you know, being a paranormal investigator, it must be so exciting because, you know, you're out there and you're bowling there and there's all these things happening. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. I mean, like I said, we can sit there for hours and hours and hours. We can sit there all night and have absolutely nothing happen whatsoever.
Is that because the place isn't haunted?
Who knows?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, if you go into a legitimately haunted place, maybe everything is like that. I mean, we went to Jay Ward and it went crazy for a while.
Yeah.
We were hearing stuff. We recorded stuff. People getting nudged and pushed. There's all sorts of stuff happening and it's...
But if it didn't happen and you were making a show, you'd have to try and make something happen, would you? Do you agree?
No.
No? So what would you put that on TV of a night?
You'd debunk it. You'd say, no, this place ain't haunted. You're talking shit. Well, it wasn't haunted that day.
Paul.
And I would give a lot more credibility to a show saying that. And they do that. Ghost Adventurers have done it.
Yep.
Ghost Hunters International. They've debunked some things, but... You watch a lot of episodes of a lot of different shows. What percentage would you put just on ghost on these investigation shows as a whole? What percentage would you say are episodes where they just got nothing and they're happy to say we got nothing?
Not many. Not many at all. But they are clutching at straws when they're bringing out some of these EVPs.
Yeah.
So you can always fall back on orbs, and you can always fall back on audio to present something a bit dodgy.
And none of them believe in orbs when they're talking in their shows. But then there's, oh, but this orb we captured is real, you know.
It isn't or isn't.
Which brings in the whole entertainment side, because at the end of the day, what they're entertaining people.
Mm. So are we here saying that orbs and EVPs are the lazy man show's evidence? Just something to fall back on?
No, because they get great EVPs as well. But Ghost Box Session, it's entertainment. It is the lazy man's TV show. So is a lot of these other devices, you know. And you got to take them really lightly when you're using them in an investigation. You've got to validate it with a lot of stuff. And I didn't even know if you can validate some of that equipment. And that's coming from a tech guy.
Anything else you guys want to add to that question?
No, I think we've said it all, I think. All right. Covered every aspect.
We've got time for one last question. I found this an interesting question. It's something I've never really thought about. But do you believe there's any, reality to some of these old folklore stories that you hear about fairies, leprechauns, things such as that, stuff that you hear from old classical stories? Do you think there's any legitimacy to what's in there?
Yeah, I think there could be some substance.
They had pubs back then too.
To it. I mean, they had lots of things back then. I mean, for an example, take your leprechaun, okay? A little short dude prances around in Ireland, isn't it? That's weird, leprechaun, yeah. I mean, you think about it. It could have been like a little village stuck in the foothills of somewhere, and family turns up and they've got one of their kids as a dwarf. And way back, you know, that sort of thing was like you just shunted that away, you kept it hidden away, but every now and then this kid got out and somebody spotted him, you know, out in the paddock or whatever. So, I mean, that could sort of stir up, you know. I mean, it's the whole thing like with witches. I mean, anybody who had a wart on their face was a witch. Mm-hmm. So anybody with a deformity or who was a bit odd or whatever could be classed as some weird and wonderful creature, when in fact they were just, you know, deformed or something and hidden away. But I think in a lot of them, yeah, there could be some substance to it. Totally misguided and misplaced, but certainly could be.
And I'm not going to rule it out either, you know, like how many times have you seen new in the Discovery Channel or National Geographic, all the fish they're pulling out of the ocean, you know, something you've never ever seen before. No one's ever seen it, and they just look absolutely alien-like. And if someone said to me, there's one of these in the ocean, I could have gone, yeah, no, there's nothing like that. You've just made that. But they're showing you these things, so I'm not ruling it out. There isn't. Like, all these things, I don't know, I've seen them a lot on Facebook at the moment. They're pulling out those big giant skeletons. I don't know if you guys have seen any of them, but who's to say there isn't, you know? It's always a possibility. The same with aliens and ghosts, you know? I haven't seen one, so who's to say there...
You still got a theory or a basis on it. Yeah, everyone's got an opinion on it. For me, I think it's like a really old urban legend, like, you know, the Phantom Hitchhiker or...
Dragon.
Yeah. Just any old urban legend, and it was a leprechaun or, I don't know, whatever. But I was speaking about this to someone else today, which is quite funny, and he doesn't believe in ghosts or anything like that. It was he told me he thought fairy tales were... because he doesn't think there's a link between man and ape. So he thinks we were introduced to this planet. So what he was thinking is we came here by ship. We crash-landed all our technology and that was destroyed. We never... This ship contained only children from the planet that we came from. So we had no real knowledge. Not that much knowledge. There was only a couple of elders. So they could teach us a little bit. But he thinks all that fairy tale stuff is from our past planet. And we've continued on from there.
Everybody's got an imagination.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Oh, for, so. Well, you can believe that and you can't believe in ghosts.
Yep.
That is a bit funny, isn't it?
Hmm.
Leprechauns and such, but no ghosts. Do you think if we lived in some place like Ireland, that, you know, something like the leprechaun would be worthy of our time researching and investigating?
Sure, why not?
Oh, yeah, definitely, why not?
We have the bunyip.
Do we? But we don't actively investigate that.
No,
is that something we want to? I'd love to.
I would love to go charging around the bush trying to find a yowie. Let's do it. I'm excited about this. I'm not talking the bunyip at Murray Bridge. You know, shove a dollar in that comes up and goes back down.
Yowie's a bit different. Yowie's,
yeah, I know yowies are different to bunyips. Yeah. I do know that. Yeah, but
yowie's our version of Bigfoot.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm really excited by this, as you can tell.
Where are we going to do such a thing? There's nothing here. Well, I lie. There is the creature of Mount Crawford Forest. Perhaps we could look into that. But get into more of these.
Not in Adelaide, but we also have our own Loch Ness Monster. But not in Adelaide. It's called the Hawkesbury River Monster, which is very similar to the Loch Ness in appearance and that. I can't remember what dinosaur they describe it to, but...
I haven't heard any of
that. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I didn't know about that one.
The Hawkesbury Monster. Right. Hawkesbury River Monster.
So I guess it looks like we're going to have more...
I reckon we should... Yeah, we need to... I think... I mean, we are a... paranormal group, and anything not easily explained could come under that umbrella, and I think we need to expand a little bit past just the ghosts and hauntings and start looking at other things as well, start challenging ourselves a little bit more.
Well, Lynn and Wes as the people that seem to find most of our locations for us, maybe find us a place where we can look for such a thing.
Sure.
Let's
do it.
And
we'll go on a road trip, we'll go out there, we'll... Even Min Min lights, even stuff like that. Like, you know, you've got a friend, Lynn, that's witnessed some strange things. Maybe we can get into some more of that kind of stuff. But we're just gonna stop the show there. But anyway, if you want to contact us, you can go to facebook.com/theparanormalguidecommunity. Go there, ask questions, comment on things that are happening. We've got a lot of photos up there. I guess there's going to be some more photos to come as well from our more recent investigations. And until next time. I'm saying goodbye.
Happy hunting, everyone.
See you on the other side, guys.
Now, see, Lynn never came up with one. You never came up with a sign-off, did you?
I did.
You did? What was it?
Keep it real.
Keep it real. There you go. We've got to remember that. I remember there being a competition at one stage.
There was, and I don't think anybody entered.
No one cared.
No, then. Nobody cared enough. That's all right.
All right, and today's artist seeing us out is Kid Crush with his track, I Hear Dead People. Now, there is a very mature language warning on this one, so please, if you have sensitive ears, hit stop now. I can hear them screaming. I can feel them breathing down my neck. I hear them screaming. Dead, dead people. I can hear them screaming. I can feel them breathing down my neck. I hear them screaming. Dead, dead people. I got a sixth sense that'll make sense. As I hang the body on the hooker, look, I see I'm intense. I rip the body open, finger fuck the brain. I hear the voices, now I think I've gone insane. One bitch don't care, she just fucking it all. When she's dragging me down and she's making me fall. As I sit here surrounded by the white noise on my TVs, can you see me? I hear these other motherfuckers and I can't make out a word. So I drown at the sound with these beats that you heard. But I can still hear them screaming all over this damn verse. Can you hear them? Can you hear them? They want me to join them. They want me to find them. Look and try to see them going through this therapy. I jump off the second story, now I see them all around me. I can hear them screaming. I can feel them breathing down my neck. I hear them screaming. Dead, dead people. I can hear.
fishermen told me to stay faithful, but I'm unstable, haunted by faces of dark angels. I will never be forensically spotlighted, intentionally infectious, sees a demonic chorus scenes on the movie screens. These devils, they swing like wolves that sing, catch a glimpse of the moon before the doom intends. A fight and lights up the skies, being followed by a demon, but I don't know why. I get a little paranoid, I think I'm losing my mind. Schizophrenic, start to panic, so I pick up a knife and get to stabbing a bitch like some savage's kid, and have a total mind blank of what it is you just did. I think I'm sick, and somebody help me please, cause all I see and hear is dead people and screams in my dreams. I can hear them screaming, I can feel them breathing down my neck. I hear them screaming, dead, dead people. I can hear them screaming, I can feel them breathing down my neck. I hear them screaming, dead, dead people. I can hear them screaming, I can feel them breathing down my neck. I hear them screaming, dead, dead people. I can hear them screaming, I can feel them breathing down my neck. I hear them screaming, dead, dead people.